Today's edition of the Capital Daily Podcast is brought to you by VIN. Find and buy a new car, and even test drive it, without once setting foot at a dealership. Visit vinauto.com for more details. Introducing the Capital Daily's Weekly Photo Challenge. Each week, our team will post the weekly photo theme in Monday's Capital Daily newsletter, as well as announcing it right here on the podcast, with winners receiving gift cards to local Victoria businesses around town. This week's theme is nighttime photography. To find out how you can enter, check out Monday's Capital Daily newsletter. Hi, I'm Ben Waterworth, and welcome to the Capital Daily Podcast for Wednesday, November 4th, 2020. Today on the podcast,
you want to be played on radio. There are certain targets you want to hit for sure. For me, I had to decide whether I gave a rip or not, and I don't.
We chat with BC singer Danny Strong about her latest album and just what challenges she faced in getting it finished, as well as her pure love and passion for BC. BC-based country singer Danny Strong has just released her sophomore album Undefined, her first album released in nearly 4 years after her successful debut album Time to Breathe from 2016. The new album features 13 songs which offer messages of strength, hope and empowerment. The debut single from the album, Not Right Now, was featured in the Amazon Prime movie Hometown Holiday, with the second single, Wild Summer, racking up over 600,000 streams on Apple Music. The latest single from the album, Mrs. Jones Evelyn, landed Danny the Best Country Song at the 2020 Independent Music Awards and showcases the full range of Danny's storytelling skills by painting a vivid portrait of a woman whose pursuit of material wealth has left her alone. And I know you're crying in that four-post bed at night, in a white silk gown and nobody by your side. And to talk about the album release and everything else in between, it's a pleasure to welcome to the Capital Daily Podcast, Danny Strong. Danny, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you, Danny, and I'm sure you're very excited right now to have this album out. It's always a good feeling, of course, to have all this lead up to an album release, and then it's out now. So what's it like having this album out and all your fans being able to finally enjoy this music you've been working on?
Oh man, at this point, I'm happy the fans have it, but I'm more happy for myself. It's been such a long journey for this one. This has been over 3 years in the making. Over 3 years, 2 home equity loans and a Kickstarter campaign, and we now finally have our record. Yay!
Woo! And home equity loans aside, and that, also a pandemic has kind of happened as well. So, a lot has happened right?
Yeah, it totally has been it's been a wild journey. Actually, our very last recording session, where we finished the final 5 songs, thanks to the wonderful supporters on the Kickstarter campaign, ended February 17th, 2020.
Wow.
Less than 1 month.
You got in there. The world you got stopping. In there just yeah. in time.
We really did. It was just amazing, actually, but I was supposed to go on tour on March 23rd and then that didn't happen, but the record did. So,
For every negative, there's a positive, right? I guess we can look at it that way. How is it, how did you find using the kickstarting campaign for it? I can imagine that's something that's slightly nerve-wracking, because you go into it no doubt hoping and assuming that your fans and people out there will support it, but I guess there's also that off chance that maybe it won't go as you planned. Clearly this case it did, so we've got a positive outcome, but how is that nerves when you first decide to go that route?
Oh, the nerves for me were not at all remotely whether I would succeed or not. Although I actually found out after the fact that it had to succeed or you don't get your money. That was something I found out after I had already pushed go. But for me, it's more the nerves of just being that vulnerable. I'm known for being a pretty vulnerable writer, but to be that vulnerable, to have to, as a grown woman with family and children and a husband, that was next level vulnerability. But it just wasn't, we were at a point in our life that I felt, you know, I owed it to the fans to have another record, but the way that music is consumed right now really makes it tough for, especially, you know, independent artists or any artist, but especially independent artists, to be able to, or feasible to, for us to be able to make a high quality record, which is how I record. So we ended up just having to do the campaign, and everybody was so happy to support it. Like, I mean, it was all me that was having the issues and the anxiety with the vulnerability. People were more than happy to support, but that was the hard part for me. That, like, I literally cried every single time I did like a mention of it online. I'm not kidding. My husband knew when I had done a post about the Kickstarter, because I was
you're in tears. You're crying.
Oh yeah, I was. I really was. But it ended up being amazing, and yeah. So, and now I have a record, and I'm just so crazy grateful.
And I guess with something like that too, at the end of that campaign, you've literally had your fans' involvement in your album, haven't you? So it's like, yep, they're a part of that album when you do release it, which I'm sure makes, yes, it a little bit more special.
Mm-hmm. I hope it makes it more special for them too. I tried really hard to make the Kickstarter supporters, you know, to be special. Like, they got the record well in advance to everybody else, and just thanking them as much as I can. But yeah, I mean, they are a huge part. There's no doubt about it. There'd be no record if there was no Kickstarter supporters. So yeah, it's special.
I love what you've said about the title of this album, Undefined, that, mm-hmm, the hardest thing for you to do as a songwriter is to define your sound or genre. So that kind of fits into that title. Do you find that that's also especially in country music at the moment? Because there's so many different layers and genres in the country world as well, isn't there? I mean, I turn on the radio and a song is defined as country, and I straight away listen to it, go, wait, this is country? This isn't what I picture as country. I mean, is that
yeah,
in itself?
I do the same.
Yeah. I mean, I got told off the other day because I was listening to a song, and they're like, Ben, you're listening to a country song. I'm like, this isn't a country song. And I went into a long debate with this person about how this, yeah, is or isn't a country song. And it's kind of, yeah, it's skew-iff a little bit in the own industry. So that kind of fits in well, I can imagine, into your own, I guess, industry, mm-hmm, that you're in that part.
Sure. I'm so grateful to be in the country industry because of that. Oh my goodness. I was listening this morning to, thankfully, I've been added to a couple Spotify curated lists, and one of the playlists, I was just listening to it, and I was listening. I wasn't watching who was on. I was just working and listening, and I was like, I swear that's Nelly. Like, you know, a 90s kid, you know?
Yep.
And I look, and it's freaking Nelly.
Yep.
And it's a country song, you know, and it's explicit and everything. And I don't really have a is it good or is it bad opinion on it. I giggle. I definitely laugh about it. Like, you know, but just because of who I am and how I write, I'm just so happy that country is kind of my home, right? Like, that's my home. But yeah, I think I lucked out in that though, because not every genre is as welcoming as country is. Country is just kind of, I do feel it. It's kind of like this uplifting generally. They just want to keep people, you know, it's usually uplifting and happy and just good time music is really what I'm finding today's country to be. So, you know, a good portion of my songs fit in there, but this record definitely blurs those lines.
I can imagine though that as a songwriter, kind of it does make it a more fun process for you, that you're kind of not boxed into a certain, mm-hmm, expectation of what your song should sound like or what the theme should be. Because I agree with you. I think country today is very uplifting and everybody seems to be having a great time whenever they're listening to country music, which...
Yeah, they're all drunk.
Yeah, well... I wasn't going to say it, Danny, but you said it, so I'll let you take that one. But, like, I mean, there's come a long way from that perception that country music is just a bunch of sad cowboys in the back of a truck moaning about their dead dog, right? So it makes it a little bit more fun for you.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I guess it makes it fun. You know what? I'll be honest. There is if you were to ask any other country artist, they would argue yeah, there absolutely is a form, and there is, and you know, radio will tell you. So I track, I actually work for other artists. I try to work for, you know, other indie artists that are working their butts off, and I work them at radio, and there is a form. I mean, if you want to be played on radio, there are certain targets you want to hit for sure. All of the writers in the rooms in Nashville that have, you know, 3 to 4 to 5 to 11 writers on songs, they are ticking boxes. They are following a process. And I mean, there's no arguing that. It's for me, I had to decide whether I gave a rip or not, and I don't. So, you know, I knew the songs that I wanted, that I thought, you know, oh, this would be a great radio song. And you know, and I would do a better job at trying to tick those boxes. And so would the producer, and, you know, but for the most part, I mean, I did that on my last record. I'm not doing that on this one. This one, I wanted to love every song. And I do.
That's good. That's good to hear. But it's also, it's a changing music landscape, isn't it? Whereas, sure, radio style songs and airplay is great, but compared to 10, 15 years ago, now with the internet, you know, it's a little bit different, isn't it? With things like YouTube, and you can get that online presence, which a lot more artists, I guess, are being discovered for those more independent sounds, as you're talking about, rather than just going clearly for a radio style airplay song.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it's such a wild thing right now. It all depends on, like, as far as what a goal is, the goal is for the artist, right? Like, there are so many different ways to consume music, the largest being streaming. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts around that. But if you are trying to make a living at music, radio is still the thing that pays you. And it's so interesting, unless you're getting millions of streams. Like, so, I mean, if I'm very transparent, as you can probably tell, because I don't have anybody above me or below me or around me telling me that I can't say that. so I'm kind of blessed in that respect. But, you know, unless you're getting millions of streams, it's pretty tough to pay a mortgage, let alone write and record a new record based off of streams alone. So, but having said that, there are way more opportunities for somebody like me that wants to put out a song like Bug in the Bed on their record. And, you know, like that song might find its way into like this niche little market or whatever. But, you know, if you're getting added to all the major radio stations, so the Rogers and the Bells and the, you know, all those big guys, the Stingrays, like, yeah, you're going to make some decent money off of that. Right. So a lot of these artists are really shooting for that. And it's just so interesting to me. I don't want to, like, you know, shoot myself in the foot or bite the hand that feeds me, but, you know, it's just interesting that it's radio that truly pays, yet streaming is the number one form of consumption. And on the back end of things, another way that we artists that, I mean, I try to focus on is licensing our music, like to TV shows or movies or whatever. Right. And a lot of people don't focus on that. And, so for example, I have two songs on a movie.
You do.
That's on a Christmas movie.
Hometown Holiday on Amazon Prime. People check it out.
and I mean, and I'm not, so in the interesting thing about that, I mean, I don't know if you care, but I always find this so fascinating. You know, so there's all these forms of collecting royalties and this and that. And I, being an indie, you know, you have to do all the research yourself. And I remember chatting with a few people that, you know, collect on behalf of artists in Canada. And I booked a couple meetings and I said, you know, I'm singing the theme song on three different Netflix shows. And then I have two of my own songs in this Amazon movie. Like, is there a way to, you know, how do we collect on the royalties for that? And literally I have spoken with like three people high up and they're like, oh, we haven't figured out how to collect for streaming royalties.
That's crazy.
But if I sing on like a network TV show,
yeah,
it's huge money.
Yeah.
So again, it's crazy. Like, so the highest form of consumption for licensing for television is streaming. We all know that. but it doesn't pay at all for me. But yet if you're on like, you know, a news channel or you perform on TV, then it's big money. So it's so crazy right now.
Yeah. I mean, that's
isn't it?
Well, it's incredibly crazy because, I mean, it is actually something that we've talked at length with some artists on this show before. And
yeah,
it is
good.
A fascinating sort of world to think about mm-hmm. many artists who go that route. But I was mm-hmm. unaware that you're not getting anything out of the streaming side because you're right. That is where everyone's consuming media nowadays.
Nothing.
And you would assume that all of a sudden that would have to be worked into it. I mean, is it being worked? Are these people doing this or are they just delaying it so they don't have to pay you guys?
So I've heard that it's being worked. So don't get me wrong. The company that used my song paid like a fee, like a, you know, a one-time fee to use the song. And then, you know, generally speaking, you would get your performance royalties, right? You get your, like you would for radio and this and that, like the same type of thing. Like licensing is generally a lovely little thing that you can get. You know, it's not crazy, but it's something. And every person I have spoken with has said we haven't figured it out yet.
Wow.
So, because even on the three songs where I just sing the theme song, I didn't write it, but I'm singing it. So that would be like a performance. It's not stuff I normally care about, but I was like, this is just stuff I should probably get my ducks in a row on, you know, and especially with my two full songs, like they're played in their entirety in that movie. And I plan on doing a lot more because it's fun, but it's just interesting to me. I'm not complaining at all. I'm truly not. I literally find it fascinating. That's not to say that I don't plan on having a few chats with them.
Oh, you should.
You know,
yeah
there's call some changes Netflix. I think that just need. I don't even know. I'm not sure if it would be Netflix or who it would be, but yeah, it's just to me, I'm like, I giggle because it's, you know, like I said, radio pays the most for like audio airplay. But yet streaming is the highest consumption and TV network stations are the highest paying for our licensing, yet streaming is the highest consumption.
Wow.
Well, it just hasn't transferred.
We'll get some of our listeners to stand outside like one of these live news broadcasts on like CBC or something like that with a stereo and just blare your music out so they're forced to pay you royalties because it's aired on their show. That can make up for it, can't it?
Yeah, it's good. They've all treated me really well. Like I said, I think for like the other indies and other just artists in general, I mean, I'm kind of one of those firecrackers that doesn't mind doing the work. So I'm really diving into it now.
Which at the end of the day too, I can imagine knowing that your song's going to be in a movie, a couple of songs is going to be in a movie, no matter whether it's on network or streaming or wherever. You tune into that
exciting.
Movie and you see, you hear it. Like, that's got to give you a couple of goosebumps.
Oh, I am freaked right out. Yeah, totally. That's what I mean. I say all this with a smile on my face. You know, it took me a year to even be like, oh, I wonder if I get, you know, I wonder if I get anything for that. I was just happy to be associated with Santa Claus on screen. So.
That's always a positive, you know?
It's the best for me. It's
one of the biggest
best.
Characters yeah, out there. So, you know, it works.
Yeah, no, it was lovely. Like, I mean, that's a world that I... you know, I would love to exist in because the whole genre thing doesn't really take hold. So if you can be a writer for film and television, you know, and I also love to task write, as I call it. So like, you know, that's something I've always wanted to do was just write for film and television. To just be told to write a song about a specific thing is like something I love doing.
Well, who knows? One day, it could all lead to you to the ultimate movie song. You could write a Bond theme one day, Danny. Who knows? That could be the first country artist for a Bond theme. I'm keeping an eye on that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there you put it in my head now. I'll write you one and just send it to you.
Please do.
Least.
I would love to hear a country, like, I don't know, like a country cover of some form of Bond. But not, it doesn't even have to be a cover. Like, I want kind of some real country sounding Mr. Bond theme, you know? Like,
for sure.
Can't be any worse than Billie Eilish's song this year, right? So we'll see.
I don't know. I don't even know what one it is, actually.
Yeah, you can listen to it after. It's not the greatest.
Is
don't
it
worry.
New?
It's new. It's the well, when we say new, of course, the Bond film was meant to be out a year ago, but we're still waiting for it. So, you know, we at least know
now
the song.
I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah, you'll have to. It's called No Time to Die. And yeah, you'll find it interesting. It must be once you have it out, though, and you've kind of got people listening to it out there. Are you a type of person who jumps on social media and sees what people are saying about it? Do you want to know what people are saying about it, or do you kind of just wait a little bit for fans to come to you and tell you what they're saying about it?
You know what? I don't know if I'm big enough to get negative feedback. I think everybody knows me enough that they're too nervous to say if they didn't like it. I mean, I don't know. Thankfully, I've never run into anything negative. But to answer your question directly, I love reading feedback. I'm actually very good with any kind of feedback. I actually find it, because they never take anything personally. It's music. There is no right or wrong. People, not everybody's going to like it, even if most of the people love it. I mean, it's not going to be everybody's style. So I'm always just so interested in how people relate to the songs, because I do write songs, and my mission as a writer is to give people something that makes them feel, or something that they can lean on, or something that might empower them, but it also might hit them in another way. So I'm always curious for feedback on how somebody's connecting to a song. And so far I've had some pretty beautiful, I woke up today to three really long messages on Instagram from people that, it was just great feedback, like giving like breakdowns of stuff. And one was a stranger, so it was great.
Great. Awesome. And yeah. I can imagine too, that is extra special when it maybe comes to a song that you've put especially an extra amount of your heart and soul mm-hmm. into a song, because I'm sure there are always tracks you are writing which are very deep and very personal on whatever level that may be, Danny. So does that mm-hmm. hit a special chord when it's one of those songs that people say, hey, I relate to it, and maybe in the same way that you intended it to be related to?
Big time. Yeah, big time. For sure. I and it's also, you know, there's a song on the record called Walk the Mile, and I had no idea. It's actually like, I don't know what number it is, 11 maybe. So it's not like at the front of the record by any means. And that is the song that everybody is, I mean, they're all loving the whole record, thankfully, but the surprise is how many people are reaching out about Walk the Mile. And it's so funny, because even when I recorded that, that's the only song ever that I have recorded like without a click track. Like the producer was like, don't even use a click, like just play piano, and he just wanted me to feel the song. I mean, which is dangerous if you don't give me a click, but my drummer / husband can't even listen to it. It drives him crazy. But that, and yet that's the one that I think people are maybe just feeling. And that one is one of those songs that I don't even really ever talk about what the inspiration was, because it's hitting people so differently, every single person. And that's fascinating to me. And to me, that's like, I once heard Ray LaMontagne talk about that, and how he doesn't often give the story behind a song, especially on a song that he felt could have some impact, because it can change how a person views it. And if it's powerful for a person, it needs to be powerful for their own personal reasons.
I've always found that fascinating in talking to musicians over the years, when you, especially when you start off in radio and you've got the standard questions, what does this song mean? Mm-hmm. Why did you write about it? And then you do often get a lot of people saying, well, you know, it's open to interpretation, you know, make your own mind up, which it is a very unique art form, music, in that way, because unlike a poem or a film where you are meant to make your own interpretation up, it's a lot longer than a song generally, and you've got 3 minutes to try and make your mind up and try and read it. And the more and more you listen to a song and deeply listen to the lyrics, you take more of an interpretation out of it. So, and that all fits in with melodies and everything else along those lines too. So it's a very unique thing, a song, isn't it?
I agree. I fully agree. And I love that. I love, and I'm very much like that too. Like not even with my own music, but when I listen to other people's music, like that's, I feel the exact same way.
You're talking a bit before about being an independent artist and everything along those lines. Obviously with the pandemic on at the moment, one thing is touring, can't unfortunately do it at the moment. Have you gone out of your way to try and work around that? I've spoken to a few artists about things like Zoom performances and other bits like that. Is that something you've done or looking at doing, and how desperate are you to get out on the road, not just for the money side of things, but just more so to bring these songs out on the road?
Oh, I'm desperate to get on the road. Absolutely. I'm a road girl. I love playing shows. I love driving. All of the above. I hate doing any of the Zoom shows, the online shows. I do them all the time. Having said that, I'm doing a big one this week on the Blue Jay sessions, and I love it. But I'm also ticked because, you know, I have always wanted to play the Blue Jay sessions in person, you know, and now it's, you know what it is? It's the quality is so, it's just not the same, right? The sound quality is just terrible. But on top of that, I am such a viber. Like I love sitting in a room. I love working the crowd. I love reading the audience. I love just chatting and just really connecting with people I think I'm pretty good at doing that, and I'll change my sets and my songs every time just based on who's sitting in front of me. And so it's for an art, being an artist like that, I suck at online. I don't know what they think. I can't see their faces. It drives me crazy. How do I really feel?
you need to do like the sporting matches and kind of get all those cardboard cutouts and just, you know, create like a big crowd in front of you to at least see some faces or something like that.
Yeah, I should. I've got that. I'll see what I can come with.
Giving you so many ideas in this interview, Danny.
I know. Yeah. You're gonna be my manager. All of a sudden, I have a team now.
Exactly. You know, I'll say I work for 10%, but hey, I'm happy. Yeah. These ideas are just coming off the top of my head. I've never had these before in an interview.
Yeah, so. You'll work for 10%, except for I already let you in on how much we make.
Exactly. So. You know, that's the thing, right? So yeah. Yeah, we'll talk after this this interview. You're based in Kimberley, and I mean a beautiful part of the province. And how long have you been in BC for? Has this been something that you spent more of your life in BC now than Ontario?
Oh, that's a good question. I think I'm pretty even.
Wow.
I've been back in British Columbia for just over about 2.5 years now. Just in Kimberley for 2 months. But in the Kootenays for the past 2 years. Prior to that, I think I was, I don't know, about 15 years in Ontario. But then my entire schooling was in Salmon Arm, BC.
Ah.
No, but I have, so, you know, I was born in Ontario, but then when my parents split, we came out west. So I loved school. I really loved school. So all of my schooling being in Salmon Arm, I've always considered Salmon Arm, you know, my home. But Lake Simcoe in Ontario has been the only constant in my life. My dad has always lived on Lake Simcoe. He still lives on Lake Simcoe. All my cousins are still there and the family. So I really am just, I'm kind of equally in both. My home base is Kimberley though. And you know what? I am not one to commit to anything. Yeah, I think it's a typical musician thing. But
hope your husband's
not listening
to this.
He knows. He's the only thing I'm willing to commit to.
Right, good. Okay, just clarify that.
But he's terrified of like just moving because he doesn't like moving. And I think we've moved, oh goodness, like way too many times for his liking. But I really love it here. So I'm almost... You know, and I'm almost good at saying this is my forever home, but I would never do such a thing. I would never say that.
Well, I was going to officially confirm you as a BC-er, but you sound like you're pretty firm 50-50 there with Ontario. We can't quite make you 51% BC-er right now, can we?
Yeah, I would say 51.
Okay,
BC,
we'll take
just
it.
Because I'm not allowed to travel. So.
Yeah.
So I just have to stay. Like I love it. I love it here. But trust me, when we get the green light, I'll be gone.
You're gone. You're
I don't
there.
Know where, yeah. But it'll be gone. I'll be on the road. I'll be in Victoria.
Well, you mentioned to be off air. You like it out here. You haven't been here in a mm-hmm. while, Danny. So you need to come out this way. You need to bring the music. We need to talk mm-hmm. our managerial contract out there over coffee.
I know we
like
do
that.
In person. We gotta do the whole handshake. But it's been years since I've been in Victoria. I'm talking. Long time. So when I went to Victoria, I was in high school, and so like 3 years ago. and at the time I was like, I hated cities. I remember that was like my big thing. I was like, I hate cities. I'm a small town girl. And I fell head over heels for Victoria. I just said, okay, I hate cities except for Victoria. Like it was just
Denny.
It was beautiful. cities I had, and I mean like just the city, not even necessarily the geographical landscape of it. I just really loved Victoria. Yeah.
Well,
and yeah. I do want to go back.
I think I speak on behalf of the whole city. I'm not the mayor or anything. I might be one day. I don't know. But you're welcome yet. Back anytime.
Thank you.
Sorry, Lisa, helped if you're listening. I'm not trying to steal your job. But, you know, as an Australian living in Victoria, I feel I have the right to officially grant
to invite
you
me.
Permission to enter the city. Danny, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you today. Of course, the album Undefined is now available both physically and on all streaming platforms, wherever good music is played. Best of luck for everything. Get out on the road soon, hopefully, Danny, and I'm sure we'll chat again at some point in the future.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great.
Coming up, all the day's news, plus we play you some more music by Danny next. Vin is a groundbreaking car search app that is a powerful tool to compare prices across dealerships. It's a streamlined way to secure auto financing online and uses its innovative service to have cars delivered right to your home for a test drive. Vin hasn't just brought the auto market online, they've completely changed what it is to buy a car. But don't just take my word for it, take TJ's word for it. TJ said they found their perfect car, filled out all necessary paperwork, and booked their viewing time while sitting at their kitchen table. Or how about SW's word for it, who compliments Vin for their amazing service and highly recommends them due to their best price and quality of their cars. Join real customers TJ and SW right now by visiting vinauto.com. To today's news now, and a weekend shooting left three dead and one severely injured survivor in a Whiskey Creek off-roading area. On Sunday at 2 p.m, a motorbiker came upon the first body, and responding police and paramedics quickly found two others in a burnt-out trailer. A fourth victim, who was still alive, was found in a different unburned trailer and airlifted to hospital where his condition was stabilised. Locals told CBC and the Canadian Press that the area is used for off-roading, dirt biking, bush parties, camping and squatting. An Oceanside RCMP statement said that initial findings led investigators to believe that it was an isolated incident between parties well known to one another and that they do not believe there is any ongoing risk to the public. Serious crime rose faster in Greater Victoria last year than almost any other city in the country, according to Stats Canada, with the jump tied to property crime, drugs, and possibly a change in BC's crime classifications. The 16% increase in major crime was the second highest municipal crime spike in Canada last year, per Statistics Canada's latest crime severity index, which weighs both the number of reported crimes and their seriousness. Among the 35 census metro areas in the report, only Kelowna saw a steeper CSI rise at 20%. Despite the 2019 crime increase, Greater Victoria still remains below the national average in CSI. It is the lowest CSI by far among Western Canadian CMAs and is in the middle of the pack overall. Stats Can also cautioned that CMI increases in BC cities are likely tied to a change in reporting standards. And the younger sister of a child hit in a Saanich crosswalk has started a fundraiser for other kids. Layla Bui was severely brain damaged after being struck by an SUV at a crosswalk in 2017 while she was walking to school. Her sister Myla is now fundraising for the Help Fill a Dream Foundation and is folding a paper crane for every dollar donated. Sentencing for the SUV driver began last week but has been delayed. And before we go today, let's close out the episode with some music as we play more of Danny Strong's single Wild Summer to make you long for some warmer days now that we are well and truly into the colder months of the year. Take a listen.
Took our time, sunset right on the water. Dark red sky, perfect for I love you. You knew that you knew, like they say, true. We had a wild.
Hopefully that brings you a bit of sunshine on this Wednesday. And that's it today for the Capital Daily Podcast for Wednesday, November 4th, 2020. I realise it's now Wednesday and we haven't had the fun Aussie story of the week. Well, fear not, my intrepid, loyal listeners. We'll have it back for you tomorrow and I will be sure to bring you a good one to make up for the delay. My name is Ben Waterworth and as they say in Australia, bye. Thanks for tuning in and I'll speak to you tomorrow. Today's edition of the Capital Daily Podcast is brought to you by VIN. Find and buy a new car, and even test drive it, without once setting foot at a dealership. Visit vinauto.com for more details. Introducing the Capital Daily's Weekly Photo Challenge. Each week, our team will post the weekly photo theme in Monday's Capital Daily newsletter, as well as announcing it right here on the podcast, with winners receiving gift cards to local Victoria businesses around town. This week's theme is nighttime photography. To find out how you can enter, check out Monday's Capital Daily newsletter.